Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are at the world-famous Fadley Seafood. We are at the Lexington Market since 1782. I'm reading a sign out there. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We got some Betty Boop scratch-offs to give away. We got some ladies over here winning some prizes. Don Moeller is here. Don, we have tried to get the Attorney General on. There's been a plague. He was on
a little pandemic got in the way.
He was on the original list back when we were chasing Mikulski in the beginning, and the then mayor, and finally we get you to the stop. And when I said to you, Fadley's, you're like, I know a lot about Fadley's, right? You're no stranger to this spiritual.
You've been here once or twice.
This is a great place.
It goes without saying, and I don't want to embarrass the Attorney General, but as he prepares to leave office after 36 years of public service, I think it's safe to say it is not hyperbole. One of the most universally respected elected officials in the state of Maryland. So thank you for your service.
I don't know whether people on radio can hear your nose growing longer.
Absolutely true, without a doubt. But before we get into your legacy, role of Attorney General, things you're proud of, we had Thoreau Vignaraja on earlier. He clerked for the Supreme Court. You're the Attorney General. You're taking cases to the highest court in the land all the time. We're in the midst of a Supreme Court confirmation. And we don't need to spend time talking about whether Ted Cruz should ask about children's books in a private school in Washington, D.C. I think we know the answer to that. But when you... I said to Thoreau, my progressive friends probably have heartburn when I say this, I would have voted to confirm Amy Coney Barrett. I think she was qualified as a judge. Not everybody agrees, and I think that should be... I would have voted to confirm Justice Scalia. I disagree with their judicial philosophy of originalism 100%, but based on qualifications and the way I judge Supreme Court nominees and the fact that elections have consequences, I would have said grudgingly, they're qualified, and I expect the opposition to use the same standard when it comes to our team being in charge. How do you view confirmation hearings?
Well, I think you set the right standard, Don, but I don't think that's the one that the Republicans are applying to Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson.
It doesn't seem to, does it?
I mean, you know, when she gets asked about her religion and whether...
This has turned into a circus. This is a Supreme Court.
What percentage? We had to grade her on a percentage of her religion.
It was ridiculous. And Ted Cruz's questions were insulting and inappropriate.
Children's books.
And, I mean, okay, they may disagree with her on politics and maybe even her personal views on stuff, but that's not fair play. That's not fair game. She is one of the most highly qualified people to be nominated to the Supreme Court in the past quarter century, half century. She's superbly qualified, and she's not a radical. She's not crazy. And she has no personal indiscretions in her background, which cannot be said about some recent nominees to the Supreme Court. It's pure venom and partisanship.
The theater of it is disgusting, right?
It's terrible.
It's really... Now, again, and this is amazing coming from me, and once this airs, my progressive friends will be calling and texting, and their heads will be exploding when I say this.
I'm not partisan.
I actually...
I'm independent.
No one dislikes...
Me too.
No one dislikes Josh Hawley and his antics more than me. I actually distinguish his questions recently for Judge Brown because they dealt with judicial decisions that she made. Now, I think his cherry-picking of cases is pretty transparent, but I think if I sat as a judge and I ruled a certain way in a case, that's very different than asking me about my religion or a children's book.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
I mean, and I thought she did a very, very... good job in that. The interesting thing is, Mr. Attorney General, is this shift has happened rather quickly in the United States, as Thoreau reminded us in an earlier visit. Scalia was approved unanimously.
Yep.
I mean, other judges, I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg
yep.
had overwhelming bias. What in the heck? I mean, you're not only an above the fray attorney. Let's come on. You've been down. You've knocked door to door. You've run for, you know, you were a delegate, you were a state senator. You've been in the game. What has happened to our politics?
Mitch McConnell has been the majority leader in the Senate of the United States, and I think that's it. It was perhaps heated before then. There were justices that went through a traumatic or at least a bumpy confirmation process. Mitch McConnell threw out the rules of the game. He said, okay, you know, we're not going to give President Obama an appointment.
Not even a hearing in 2 years.
Not going to do it. And that's outrageous. And then knowing
that feels like it should be unlawful. So
it sure does.
Of this really does feel like it's not in the spirit of the founders. It's not in the spirit of what's good public policy for all of us.
That's absolutely right. I mean, it's hard to make it unlawful, but you know, it's completely inappropriate. It's pure partisan politics. And it's outrageous. And they did. They sped up Amy Coney Barrett's appointment.
3 weeks or whatever. Right.
Yeah, because they knew that Donald Trump was in trouble. And if the proceedings got strung out for any reason,
there might be an insurrection or something.
Yeah.
Right. People might swarm the Capitol. That's true. People might swarm the Capitol. Let's go to really get into the weeds. And again, we are with Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch, getting ready to leave office after a distinguished career. Let's get into the weeds. We try not to get into the weeds, but let's get into the weeds a little bit, because I think folks have heard words the last couple of days that they may not be totally familiar with. And that is this concept of whether you are a jurist who believes in originalism in terms of your interpretation of the Constitution, or whether you're a jurist who believes it's a living, breathing document. Try to for dummy our listeners as to what those two concepts mean.
Well, an originalist supposedly looks only at the words in the Constitution and what the founders thought those words might have meant. And that may be a generous description, because sometimes it's just the words. And the folks who believe it's a living document think, well, you know, it's been 240-some-odd years.
We have computers now.
Maybe things have changed enough so that we can look at those words, but give them a broader meaning than perhaps the framers did. And, I mean, I think the Second Amendment is the best example of that. I mean, you have the Scalia Supreme Court, the Scalia decision in Heller, where he said you basically don't read the first phrase of the Second Amendment, you know.
Well-regulated militia? Yeah, forget that part, right?
That has nothing to do with the...
Right.
And, I mean, that's not originalism. I mean, that's what they claim it is, but that's not originalism. They're just not reading the whole amendment. And, unfortunately, I think that kind of a... I hate to call it an ideology or a jurisprudence, because it's not. It's what do you want the law to be, and then let's say that that's what's constitutional.
Well, the most interesting, sometimes, what was it, what's that my answer, quote, believe what people tell you the first time, and believe it, or whatever they show you, believe it. I thought, Senator, I had to read it twice. In the wake of these hearings, Senator Mike Lee is suggesting that states should be able to outlaw interracial marriage, same-sex marriage, basically any civil rights advance that we've made in the past 60 years. And I'm going,
well, you're no longer living in the United States of America if you start to rescind these things. You're living in a different place.
I'm old enough. The Attorney General is old enough. You know, we were around in the late 50s and the early 60s. And the argument, I mean, react to this, A.G., the argument that he's making is the one that I heard the segregationist making when I was 9, 10 years old.
And it didn't make any sense then.
Well, they said, if I want to keep black people from eating at Fadley's, it's up to me.
Right.
That's the argument.
That's, yeah. And you know, they're going back on the Voting Rights Act that was passed in 1965, made clear that the kinds of things that they're doing in many purely red states are unconstitutional. I mean, they're taking away people's ability to vote. They're making it as hard as they possibly can. Not only no early voting or no absentee voting, but, you know, you got to show up. You got to have an identification card. I can't remember now
you
which
can
state
be
was.
Denied despite your legitimacy.
Right.
There was a county when I was a little, I'm assuming this is true. I should have gone on and researched it because I don't want to create urban legend. But I swear, when I was in the Weekly Reader or something back in school when I was a little kid, there was a county, it might have been Charles County, and again, I don't want to out Charles County, in Maryland, where if you were an African American, the poll test was you had to read a Chinese phone book. I mean, it was that outrageous. Yeah. It wasn't something that anyone could do.
Well, that's exactly what the Voting Rights Act was designed to stop. And, you know, the Supreme Court has said, okay, you know, they had the states that historically had enslaved black people and had historically denied their rights, especially their right to vote, had to get approval by the Justice Department before they could make restrictions on the right to vote. And the Supreme Court threw it out. Said, okay, we're done with that. It's been 100 years or whatever. It's been 50 years. You know, we're done with that. And then you see what's going on. You got voter suppression all over the place. It's just outrageous. And, you know, it's not hard to figure out. They don't want all those folks to vote because they might lose. They will lose. And
this is a pretty dark period, you know, for you to be leaving. And I know we've talked to you once or twice through the Trump period of time, and during the pandemic we've had you on a few times, but what you're seeing in the direction of the courts, in the direction of Congress in your time, it must be pretty frustrating for
it's
you.
Very disturbing. I mean, you know, I thought when Barack Obama was elected president of the United States, I'd never been more optimistic about the future of our democracy.
We go back to that night, right, when he came out in Chicago. I don't think any of us ever felt better about our country.
I get chills thinking about
it. So
do
I.
So, you know, and unfortunately,
and then the way he represented our country for 8 years. Yeah, you know, the kind of human he was.
Not
the kind,
one scandal.
The kind of wife, the kind of children, the kind of legacy, the kind of people he hired. We sat here with Mary Miller 2 years. Yeah, exactly.
So the Attorney General says, I never felt better, but there's a but.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reaction.
There's a but.
There was a swing back. I mean, Donald Trump, I thought it was a joke when he ran for president. There's nobody that I know who's less qualified temperamentally, by experience, by knowledge, by intelligence. But, you know, he became the president of the United States.
Mr. Attorney General.
Well, I'm watching these senators, incredibly mediocre human beings, just from a, you know, Marsha Blackburn asking questions and with her finger and isn't even sure what she's asking. Somebody handed her the questions, very obviously. That's the part that's stunning to me, because I really thought you had to be smart to be Attorney General. Am I wrong?
No, yeah, you're wrong.
This one is, not everyone is. Well, you know, your point, and this is unfortunately what happened. We got blindsided, and I've told this story before, and you knew my former boss, God rest his soul, Kevin Kamenetz. I used to joke that, you know, his home office was really the Towson Diner. We would be in the Towson Diner at least three times a week meeting with people. And one morning, and Kevin was never shy about disabusing me of what he thought were my stupid ideas, and I said to him after one of the crazy debates in 2016, when he had, you know, low energy Jeb and this and that, and Ted Cruz's father killed Kennedy. And
she's bleeding out of the you know where, all that.
And
right?
I'm watching
that one?
I'm watching
that happened.
I'm watching the polls, and I'm seeing that no one is going to drop out. And I said to Kevin over my scrapple, which also made him crazy, so he wasn't in the best mood because he hated when I had scrapple.
And you're alive and he's dead. That's unfair.
That's unfair. He ate yogurt and he ate oatmeal and I had scrapple. Life isn't fair. So, but I said, boss, Donald Trump's going to be the Republican nominee. He said, you know, there are times when you really make no sense at all. I said, boss, I'm reading the tea leaves. Donald Trump is going to be. And like you, I think it was a concept that didn't even compute that the Celebrity Apprentice toast would resonate with enough of the American people to get
But the damage that's been done at your level, when we're talking about undoing this, let alone what's going on in Ukraine and the fact that the guy was impeached for doing just this, literally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we spent 4 years fighting against Trump's predations on democracy. And, I mean, dozens
and that did
and
filter to your level, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit. That's an interesting topic. How did he impact you as AG?
Well, first of all, this is a historical quirk, but the Attorney General of Maryland doesn't have what's called common law powers. So I can't, there's a doctrine of parens patriae, which means I can go out if I'm an Attorney General and I can say, you guys are getting hurt because Donald Trump wants to take away your Social Security benefits or something like that. Almost all the elected AGs in the country have the common law power to file a suit on that. Maryland Attorney General, through a constitutional court, does not. So when Trump got into office and issued his first executive order, which was the Muslim ban, I had to get either the governor's permission or the General Assembly's permission. So I wrote to Larry Hogan. I said, this is unconstitutional. It's outrageous and it's stupid. Give me the authority to go into court and sue, along with other attorneys general. And I couldn't get an answer. So I went to the General Assembly, and you guys know they're in session for 90 days. It takes them about 75 days to clear their collective throats, you know. But I said, I need this authority. They passed a bill within 2 weeks, and so we were in court against the second iteration of the Muslim ban. And from there, we challenged Trump's environmental policies. I mean, it was really a climate destruction policy. One of the worst, there were many really bad ones. One of the worst is they were going to have offshore drilling off the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay. And we led the Eastern Seaboard states.
Well, we were going to buy Greenland, too. And that storm, that hurricane came in from Alabama. None of it made any sense.
Right. And
But it could be destructive.
Oh, my God.
Didn't have to make sense. Just destructive.
Yeah. So, you know, we were in lawsuit after lawsuit stopping the rollback of air pollution controls, water pollution controls. And we were, you know, the Carl Racine, the Attorney General of the District of Columbia, and I sued him for violating our nation's original anti-corruption law, the Emoluments Clauses of the U.S. Constitution, which say you can't, if you're President of the United States, you cannot accept anything of value from a foreign state. And if you're a president of the United States, you can only receive your salary and no other emolument of any kind whatsoever from the United States or any of them. And here is Trump, who's got the lease on the post office hotel, getting, you know, he's making payments to the government and getting benefits from it. Foreign ambassadors and other representatives of foreign
states. Well, it really became a swamp.
As an episode on Law and Order, it seems pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I thought it was a slam dunk case. At any rate, you know, so there was that. There were the horrible, horrible, inhumane public policies, not just, you know, the idea that they're going to hold immigrant children indefinitely in jail, which had been decided previously. You couldn't do. I mean, there was a court decision saying you can't do that. He said he was going to do it anyway. We sued to stop that. The worst, I think, the absolute most inhumane thing that I thought that his administration did is said, we're going to separate children from their families at the border, not for public safety, not because there was an international threat. It was just, this will be a deterrent.
No, Matt Miller went in and said, this is a way to keep them from coming.
Yeah, this will be a deterrent.
Right.
Those poor folks who maybe have a cell phone.
They'll hear about this.
They'll hear about it somehow.
Stephen Miller.
Stephen Miller. Right.
We'll
Stephen
take their
Miller.
Kids away. I mean, you know, and they had no plan to reunite the families. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Do you think he'll ever go to jail? Do you think that New York agent, I mean, do you think that there will ever be a case brought against him for all of these things that were, quite frankly, crime in the open. There was a lot of crime in the open.
I mean, look, if what I personally believe is, and it's based on no inside information, I think he committed a wide range of crimes, but... Do I think he's going to jail? I don't know.
Right. That's what we all shake. Yeah. What a great place to stop. I don't know. We'll be back with segment two with Attorney General Brian Frost
is here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. My friends at Betty and Boop are here. We're giving these away. We're going to be taking the Crab Cake Tour on the road. We're out in Greenmount Station. We're going to be up in White Marsh with my friend Andy at G&A Coney Island Hot Tub. Just left Highland Town. He's in White Marsh. We're at Fadley's right now, Lexington Market. They're coming to Catonsville soon. Back for more from Fadley's on WNST right after this.